And so it begins. This is your Padded Room Podcast for 4th of July, 2017. My name is Darian. Miss Monica is not here.
No.
Buddy is here, though.
Yes, I am.
Monica's not here. She has to console her dogs.
Yeah, don't blame her.
On 4th of July.
Yeah.
Those are big dogs.
Yeah.
And if they get out of the house and they think somebody's shooting at them, the whole neighborhood has a fucking problem on their hands.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yeah, happy 4th of July.
Hope everybody's doing good out there. Don't blow your fucking faces off with fireworks. I know you're thinking about it. Let's just keep that to a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Have a beer, but not too many beers, please. Buddy, what's up with you, man?
Not much. I went downtown to do a little 4th of July special there today.
And very cool.
Yeah, it wasn't really that packed at all.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Huh, that's weird.
No lines.
Did you go downtown Reno or downtown Sparks?
No, downtown Sparks, Victorian Avenue.
Oh, okay, yeah. Cool. No, really?
Yeah, they had a bunch of booths set up, but no.
It's just too fucking hot, man.
Yeah.
Fuck me. What? I think it was like 106 today.
Whew.
That's what it felt like, yeah. Tell you that.
Well, at least there was a breeze down there.
Was there? Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right on. Inmates, you're going to have to bear with us this week. We're going to try and make this a short show, minus one Monica. And Buddy would like to go watch the fireworks with his parent, with his family.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said your parents. Aw, little fella. Oh, in the meantime, we got the usual shit show to get into, my friends. We have horror news. We have listener mail, a movie or two to talk about, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we start things off with a little horror news?
Oh, yeah.
Horror news.
Mm-hmm. Buddy, what do you got for us?
All right, cult actor Ted Raimi to make feature directorial debut on psychological horror film The Seventh Floor.
Ah, Ted Raimi, huh?
Ted Raimi, yeah.
That's cool. I like that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a lot of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2. I don't think he was in Evil Dead 1.
I don't think so.
The Grudge.
Mm-hmm.
Some other movies that I don't come to mind immediately. No, that was Sam Raimi. God damn it. Anyway, he's been in a lot of good movies. He's one of these guys that you see and you go, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
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 He's in just about every single one of your favorite horror movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're starting to film in September.
Very cool.
Yeah. Cult of Chucky trailers is already out there. I don't know. Did you get a chance to check it out?
I saw a few of them.
Well, it's coming to Blu-ray, DVD, and digital HD October 3rd.
Wow, it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, did you watch the trailers?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Actually, it looks pretty good.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, it can't be any worse than fucking Seed of Chucky, right?
Yeah, I think it's going back to, like, the first one.
The actual horror movie?
Yeah.
Not a fucking ridiculous family drama with killer dolls?
Yeah, it looked like they're all in, like, a mental institute.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll get into
so
it.
So it's like all the ones that have had problems with, you know, Chucky in the past, and
nice.
They say, no, it's a doll, you know, and so they bring out this doll, and of course, you know.
Nice. Yeah. Chucky support group, perfect.
Right? Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, will guide players through Call of Duty Attack of the Radioactive Thing.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, she's going to help, she'll be a helpful guide to players in the upcoming DLC, which is the adventure map pack adventure of Attack of the Radioactive Thing, which is included in the Call of Duty Infinite Warfare DLC supplement entitled Call of Duty Infinite Warfare Absolution.
Shit.
Yeah.
Now I got to get on the Call of Duty.
I know, right?
I've been avoiding it this whole time.
Yeah, I have too. And Absolution is scheduled to release on July 6th.
Okay.
On PlayStation Network for PlayStation 4 with other platforms to follow.
Well, I guess I got to get that then. Fuck. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah, because I had the... what was it? They had a Snoop Dogg one on the previous Call of Duty along with... what was that? Sergeant from that old horror like
classic. Arlie Emery?
Yeah.
I think it was, nice.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I feel like the douche level on Call of Duty is pretty high.
Yeah.
A lot of, it's just, from what I understand, it's just like a cesspool of racist 12-year-olds
mm-hmm.
that know,
screaming at each other.
Know exactly where you're going to respawn and are mm-hmm. going to blast you in the face and then teabag you.
Yep.
Oh, fuck Can't that.
Camp out and just pick you
fuck
out.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah.
Well, let them step into Mortal Kombat X. I'll spank them.
That's right.
That all you got, homeboy?
That's all I got.
What got? Let's take a look here. Sharknado 5. Remember yeah. this horse shit?
Uh-huh.
The tagline has officially been changed mm-hmm. from Make America Bait Again to Global Swarming.
Oh.
How much cuter can this get?
Right?
Who gives a shit? God. Global Swarming. Look out for... I wasn't going to see it, but now that you changed it to Global Swarming, I'm all over it.
Yeah, right.
Fucking stupid. Get out of here. Unless you like Sharknado movies, then by all means.
I can't believe they got 5 of them.
I know. And they're probably going to keep cranking them out, too.
Yeah, I know 4 is on Netflix.
Yeah, great. speaking of dumb shit shark movies, Sci-Fi is currently filming a sequel to Deep Blue Sea.
Huh.
Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, that was a good one.
That one wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Problem I have with this is, number one, the Sci-Fi channel. Those guys could fuck up a free lunch.
Yep.
Number two... without Samuel L. Jackson or right. Thomas Jane, I think you're pretty much done. It's mm-hmm. it's just another ridiculous shark movie.
Right. It's not going to look like a part two.
Probably not. I mean, there might be some references in there, and you might get Thomas Jane for like a 5-second cameo.
Right.
That's about it, though.
Flashback or something.
I'm not into it. I don't even care. Let's see what else we got here. Leatherface, mm-hmm. the prequel to the Texas Chainsaw yes. Massacre. It's an official release date of October 20th.
Nice.
Just in time for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start going to the theater again, dude.
I know.
What was the last movie I saw in the theater?
Is it As Above, So Below?
No, I didn't see. I think it was It Follows.
The Witch?
I didn't see that one in the theater either.
Oh, wow.
I think it was It Follows, now that I think about it. Oh, hell, I don't even know. It's been that long.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a while, dude. Shit, I got to fucking get on that. What else we got here? Oliver Robbins, you know the name? Probably mm-hmm. not. You do know the name.
Yes.
Who do you know that name from?
I just know the name.
Okay. So just because I told you. Oh yeah, that guy. He played Robbie in the original Poltergeist.
Yes.
He is making his directorial debut with a horror film entitled Celebrity Crush. Sounds like some kind of a stalker situation.
Yeah.
Some celebrity and some crazy bitch is trying to kill him or her or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't even know why I brought that up. But I think about it. That's worth checking out if you're some kind of a fucking Poltergeist completionist. Yeah. I don't know that that guy has done anything at all other Since than then. Poltergeist. You know what? I'm going to IMDb this guy right now. I bet you he was on a bunch of soap operas. He was one of the reenactors on Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, he almost died in that movie.
Did he really?
Yeah.
No shit. What part?
When the clown was like, he was being strangled.
Oh.
Yeah. They said keep rolling, but he was actually starting to turn blue.
No shit.
And once they realized he was turning blue, they're like, oh shit. You know, let's help him out.
But oh, anyway. Actually, he's been in quite a few movies here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Poltergeist 2, of course. Man Overboard from 2008. Oh, he's done mostly writing. I guess he writes a lot of movies.
Oh, okay.
Wild
anything
Roomies?
Big?
No. Oh, he was in Airplane too. I forgot about that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Remember right. he was the kid that
yeah.
Oh. Yeah. No, not a whole lot of anything actually. Mostly writing. So that's good. Okay. I guess, you know, who knows? Maybe he's got maybe he'll figure this out.
Yeah, maybe he's trying to make a comeback.
Let's do that. The Blood Feast remake I've been telling you about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Looks pretty badass. It's just been edited down for an R rating.
Yes.
So it was going to be NC-17. Now it's an R.
Oh, it's going the other way.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be PG-13.
And oh, no. No, no. No, it was NC-17. Now it's an R. I'm okay with this because, you know, once it hits Blu-ray, there's going to be an unedited director's cut.
Mm-hmm.
So that's fine. I mean, maybe they'll get a theatrical release. I highly doubt it for a Blood Feast remake.
Hmm.
Maybe like small indie theaters somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll play it out in my living room.
Yeah.
That's not really a theatrical release, but... it'll be a release in my living room.
Yeah, be a good time.
Yeah. Have you, whatever. Lots of drinks. Whatever. So I got into horror news, man. Let's do a little listener mail here, shall we?
Oh, yeah.
Listener mail.
Mm-hmm. We got emails and voicemails. We got the whole thing. Let's start it off with our old buddy Nick.
All right.
Nicky's in the house. Nicky's in the house. Subject line, Pinhead can suck my balls.
Oh, really?
Oh, Nicky. Nicky, what are you doing?
He must be voting for Pinhead to keep him there.
I think he is. I think that's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get you set up here, Nick. I know you got some votes coming my way. Hey, Padded Room, I would like to submit my picks for this week's Terradome. I will take the Lost Boys and Belial. See what they're doing?
That's their first vote for Belial,
you
huh?
See what they're doing here? This is mutiny, and I don't care for it. Pinhead took out my Terradome pick last year, Ash, so he can go fuck himself. See, they're taking it way too personal, man.
Yeah.
Way too personal. Also, Until Dawn is free for PS Plus users next month. That's it for me, Nick. PS, fuck Pinhead. You ever play Until Dawn?
Mm-mm.
That's a pretty good game.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a slasher, but it's like a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing.
Oh, very cool.
So there's not a lot of actual gameplay involved. But it's cool because it's got, you're like in a cabin in the woods, but depending on which characters you stay with, there's like 1,000 different possible endings.
Oh, wow.
And it goes into like zombies, werewolves, killer clowns, home invaders, ghosts. I've played it like 6 times and I get a different thing each time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, cool. It's pretty cool.
Is there one in there that's like the right way?
I mean, you're going to kill off like at least 70% of the kids. At least every way that I've done it.
Yeah.
I might be going about this the entirely wrong way. Now that I think about it, maybe I should be a little more compassionate. what else we got here? It's a brand new Patreon subscriber. Oh, it's not, actually. Oh, it's... she just edited her pledge. Oh, she upped her pledge. Very cool.
Oh, nice.
My mother-in-law, Sharon.
Oh, yeah.
She went from the $10 tier to the $20 tier.
Oh, very cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I don't think she listens to the show.
Well, you know.
So, yeah, thanks anyway.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Who's up next here? Sean's in the house.
Sean.
Right here in Reno, Nevada. Subject line, Terradome. Another quick one for me this week, since I'm technically on my honeymoon right now.
Oh.
For singles, I'm going with Pinhead. See, there's a guy with an education.
Right?
And he doesn't take it personal. It's a fucking game. I'm actually going with the Children of the Corn, because why not?
What were you saying about that?
I'm going to edit that part out. That's it for me, Sean. Very cool, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for writing in. And... have fun on your honeymoon, man.
Yeah.
That's about the apex of married life right there. Once you get home, after that, it's all dirty underwear, late night TV dinners, and other bullshit.
So he wrote into us on his honeymoon.
On his honeymoon. I don't know that we should probably omit that part. I don't think she listens to the show. But, good luck to you, Sean. Keep in touch there, homeboy. Thanks for writing in.
Mm-hmm.
We got another Patreon subscriber. It's Cake Wolf.
Hey,
oh, holy shit. He upped his pledge quite a bit. He went from the $5 tier to the $50 tier.
Holy moly. Woo!
I hope that wasn't an accident. Cake Wolf, are you aware of this? Or I don't know, but thank you very much,
sir. Thank you so much.
I hope that was intentional.
That's awesome.
Cake Wolf, you are the man. You got a crap ton of prize pack stuff coming your way.
And we will put that to good use.
Yes. I don't know how. Monica's probably going to drink it, to be honest with you. She's a heavy drinker. But that's okay. That's why we love her.
That's right.
Up next comes Cake Wolf's girlfriend, Christina.
Hey, Christina.
Subject line, post-apocalyptic horseman. Okay. Hi, Padded Room. Matt and I just finished watching Horseman, and while he's showering off the emotions, I thought I'd share my take on the movie and let him add his thoughts later. This movie stressed me out. Though I thought they made a lot of jumps to make the connections, they did. Like, yeah, we get it. It's the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, but Matt made it seem like I should have connected all the crimes much earlier than their revelation that the kids all had therapy together. Must have been a shit therapy group, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a fucked up way to do it.
They didn't say really who the therapy leader was, did they?
It was the lady, wasn't it? Not the Asian chick. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anywho, I did say, man, if I were investigating this case and just had that girl confess to me all nonchalant after telling her about my kids, I would not leave those kids out of my sight. Right? I agree.
Yeah,
I agree completely. Maybe I do have some maternal instinct after all.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a sneaking suspicion that there was something off about her and her adoptive father, but I can't tell you why. I can tell you why. It's Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Whenever he shows up in a movie, there's going to be some unsavory quality about him.
Right.
He's in that fucking game, that Until Dawn game.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he plays a psychotherapist. And he's unsavory type there, too. It's Peter Stormare, Christina. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Weird European typecast. I mean, I knew she was involved because they made such an effort to point out that she was adopted. I guess it wouldn't be a big jump to assume her middle-aged father had a thing for small Asians. That doesn't sound familiar at all, does it?
Mm-mm.
Woody Allen. What a stereotype, though. I do know of a gossipy story where a person adopted a baby Asian girl and then left his wife for his daughter once she was older. That's fucking Woody Allen she's talking about. That's exactly what he did. They him and Mia Farrow adopted a Asian chick, and then later on he kicked Mia Farrow to the curb and married the Asian chick.
Okay.
Yeah, you creeper. So maybe there's something to this dirty white dude stereotype. I'm actually looking into adopting an Asian girl. Quote, unquote, adopting. It's a wonder why they let white people adopt Asian babies at all. Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah. Adopting's adapting.
Adapting. I felt terrible for these teens and their misfortunes of landing the shoddiest therapist of all time. Oh, and I feel terrible for Aiden. That was a teenage son's name, right? And him having to deal with all of the emotions with an absentee father on top of it all. I suppose the most gruesome scene should have been the kid cutting his own heart out, right? Wrong. Mm-mm. In fact, that his brother's eyes were pried open gave me the heebie-jeebies. Yeah. Eyeball trauma. Freaks me out, man.
And he's just dangling there by the
hooks. Yeah. My votes this week are for Pinhead because Belial would never stand a chance. I agree with you. Christina, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lost Boys, because the children of Korn would be so dazzled by the teenage pheromones those boys are forever putting off. You're right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right, Christina. That's it for Christina.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Christina, for writing in. Here comes her boyfriend, Cake Wolf.
Hey, Cake Wolf.
Subject line, Monica, the fifth horseman.
Hmm.
She could be. I could see her bringing about the apocalypse.
Right.
What do you got? You got war, pestilence, famine, and death, right?
Yeah.
And Monica would be the fifth one, Four Loko.
Four Loko, yeah.
Four Loko of the apocalypse. Monica, the fifth horseman. Hey, Padded Room, put me down for Belial and the Lost Boys. Oh, shit. All right. Well, okay. I recently rewatched Horseman with my girlfriend. Fuck, I forgot how amazing that movie is. It's movies like Horseman that make me think the Academy Awards are a crock of shit.
Right.
I agree with you, Cake Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
That film deserves a fucking award. Not many flicks hit me with the feels, but that one sure as fuck does. Judging by what Monica once said about what she'd like to do to that dude who crossed her, She could have been one of the horsemen. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Jesus, I'll never forget that torture scene she painted for us on the episode of The Padded Room. Mm-hmm. Monica, you are Poltergeist from 1982. He's right. Mm-hmm. He's right. Yep. You nailed it, Cake Wolf. She's not here, but you nailed it. So since you're always putting it up your asses with your hard fucking riddles, I thought I'd give you a friendly poke. Who knows? Maybe it'll help your shit. Help? What the fuck is he talking about?
Friendly poke?
I'm not putting anything up my ass, Cake Wolf. So if that's what you had in mind, then no. You're going to have to at least buy me a drink first. The three of us and the dog just moved into our new remote country home. It's a beautiful place except for all the dry pussy. I wish my daughter and I could get them wet, but at least my husband knows how to deal with them. It smells like he's warming up something delicious in the microwave. I think it's Chinese food. Cake Wolf. Okay, so I'm assuming...
The riddle.
Yeah, I'm assuming this is a horror movie.
Uh-huh.
Like, not unlike Educating Miss Monica. So let's hear this one again.
Yeah.
The three of us and the dog just moved into our new remote country home. Okay, that could be any
thousands
of movies. It's a beautiful place, except for all the dry pussy. I wish my daughter and I could get them wet, but at least my husband knows how to deal with them. I feel like that's a cat reference.
Is that that cat movie that you and Feeny are?
I don't know. It could be. I haven't seen that one in forever. Strays?
Yeah, Strays.
It could be. It smells like he's warming up something delicious in the microwave. I think it's Chinese food. I think it might be. I'm sure there's a microwave reference out there.
Probably.
And he's very into Strays all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to you on that, Cake Wolf. I'm going to watch Strays later this week and let you know what I think of that. Here comes Tim from Sydney, Australia.
Hey, Tim.
Subject line, votes. Hey, guys. Happy 4th of July to you all. Straight to tips. I think he meant votes. Teams, I'm taking the Lost Boys in singles. Look, I know it's an easy vote this week, but I promised Cake Wolf I had his back, so I gotta take Belial in this, and truthfully, I wouldn't mind seeing Darian get him tattooed. Yeah. come on now.
Belial tattoo.
That's no good.
It could get on your head if you get it.
I get to choose the size and the location, you motherfuckers. Don't think I'm getting a giant fucking back Belial piece. That would be gross.
Be like the size of a dime.
Pretty much. Miss Monica, I'm going to have a guess here and say Poltergeist. Please say yes. Till next time. Catch ya, Tim. You nailed it, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
She actually did kind of go easy on us this week, which was a nice change. Here comes Steven.
Hey, Steven.
Steve's in the house. Subject line, the lost pins. I don't know what that means. Hey, guys. Getting this in real quick since I'm at work at the moment. For singles, I have Pinhead. Oh, thank Christ, Steven. And as for teams, let's go with the Lost Boys.
There you go. The Lost Pins.
The Lost Pins. That makes sense now. Very cool. Finally, for the first time in a while, I will be able to watch the film before I listen to the show. Found The Bay on Amazon Prime. Keep rocking. Steve. Right on, Stevie.
Right on.
Glad you could join us for this one.
That's what I watched it on, was Amazon Prime.
I watched it on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
Same thing, though, pretty much. Here comes Randy.
Hey, Randy.
RCB in the house. Subject line, quick picks. Pinhead in singles and Lost Boys in teams. Oh, thank you very much, Randy. Got to make it quick this week. Cheers, RCB.
All right.
Thank you very much, Randy.
Yeah, thank
you. You are in the house, and you are locked in. Cake Wolf coming back.
Hey, Cake Wolf, welcome back.
Subject line, Espresso Express.
Oh.
One more thing. So, Monica, my mother has the same diverticulitis issues you do. Some advice, stay away from any kind of seeds and give yourself a coffee enema. Yeah, apparently warm, not hot. Coffee up your ass helps. Is that a joke?
I get the seed part. That makes sense. But
right.
Are you talking about putting coffee up your ass?
Why would you put coffee up your butthole? I mean, wouldn't just water?
Or just drinking it?
Yeah, I mean, drinking it cleans me up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I don't. Cake Wolf, I think you're fucking with us.
But we'll let her know.
Yeah, we'll tell her either way. Yeah. And if she
have a coffee and enema.
If she decides to do it, then we'll
see how it goes.
Yeah. have her report back to us.
Yeah.
Monica, why are you doing the show standing up this week? Oh, no.
She'll be Skyping us in the bathroom.
That's right. Hi, guys. Here comes Crackhouse Matt.
Hey.
Subject line, quick pterodome picks. What's up, Padded Room? Writing you guys from New York City this week. Took a quick getaway for the 4th of July, but wanted to make sure I still got my pterodome picks. In singles, give me Pinhead. Thank you very much, Matt. Over the revolting blob. In teams, give me the Lost Boys over the Bastard Children. You got it. That's all I got. Catch you guys next week. Crackhouse Matt.
All right.
Thanks for writing in, Matt. And enjoy your 4th of July there in the Big Apple.
Yeah. Awesome.
Here comes Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Tony in the house. Subject line, the revolution begins.
Oh, boy. Here
Greetings, Padded Room. Greetings, Padded Room. Let's start the show with the Pterodome. The revolution has begun. It's not who do you want to win, but who do you not want to fight? Don't get me wrong, I have no love for Belial, but in fact, I have never even seen Basket Case. But I'm all about giving the little guys a chance, all the little guys for that matter. Nobody likes to see the same winners over and over again. That's why the revolution starts with Belial. So I guess he's taking Belial then. Speaking of little guys, I also vote for Children of the Corn, because why not? Is that... Because why not? Is that a... Whatever. Whatever. That's what you want. That's what you get.
Children of the Corn. Teams tattooed also?
If I like the team's winner more than I like... I thought about getting a Children of the Corn tattoo at one point.
Oh, really?
I wasn't going to go Children of the Corn. I was going to go Wicked Little Things. Did you ever see that movie?
I don't know if I did or not.
It's like the zombie minor kids from the 20s. Yes. I was going to get like a band, like maybe around my fucking leg or something, of them all standing with their mining implements.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that'd be pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Padded Room official travel mug in the mail, and I must say it's $10 well spent. I highly suggest that everyone jump on board. Thank you very much for that, Tony.
Yeah, glad you like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it. There's plenty more available. We are not going to run out of travel mugs. Probably, we'll probably quit doing the show before we run out of travel mugs. The Bay is a really good film. Not too many eco horror films out there. Also, for found footage, there's very little shaky cam going on. Just enough gore and jump scares to get the job done. I also read that the guy making the film was going to make a documentary first before he found out that there was one already made on the Chesapeake Bay. So he took what he had and turned it into a horror film. Until next time, Tony. P.S. I hope immersion therapy doesn't suck this week. Well, I hope that too, sir. So there you have it. I feel like that last part was pointed at me, like I had something to do with it. I wasn't mad at the horseman.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It just kind of felt like, well, we'll get into that. It kind of felt like a cheap version of Seven, I thought. But there's nothing wrong with that, because Seven was a good show, too. We got some voicemails here. Let's see what we got going on in the voicemails. Now, before we end the listener mail segment, I'm going to check the junk folder again so nobody gets pissed off. Here comes, I believe this to be Gracie's Poppy or his daughter, Sarah.
Oh, shoot. I called at a really bad time because my daughter said she wanted to run out. I'm sorry. 1 second.
Okay.
Go. Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Okay. Hope you're okay.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So, first off, I'm going to do Pterodome. That's what it's called.
What do you got?
So we got Pinhead and the other one.
Yeah,
the other one.
It's a weird name. My dad.
Hey.
He's just doing this to tick you off,
baby. I know he is, the son of a bitch.
Girl with Pinhead.
Thank you, Sarah. I love you.
Next off,
Children of the Corn and the
Children
Lost Boys.
Children of the Corn versus the Pansies.
Oh, come on now.
Pansy Vampires. Lost Boys.
It's an East Coast thing.
Children of the Corn. Are you serious? Is there even a competition with that?
Oh.
So.
The Lost Boys versus Children of the Corn. Who do you think is going to win?
Lost Boys would
be
my guess.
The actual thing that they worship, I think it was called.
He Who Walks
Behind the
Rose.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
He would vaporize vaporize those teenaged vampires. I'm not even going to call them vampires because they're really not. They're really just pansies.
Oh, come on now.
I don't know why I have a deep hatred for them. Some of them
it's
because
you live
cool.
in New Jersey.
I think I really only hated the main one, like a lot.
David? He was the best!
And by the way, I did see that movie, and I knew that they were vampires before the movie like actually addressed that.
Well, so, yeah.
Go me. I'm amazing.
You are amazing.
Next off. Immersion therapy.
Yes, ma'am.
I forget what it's called. I think it's called Horseman, right?
Horseman,
yeah,
what'd
you think?
That got me. I won't lie. I cried. I cried at the end. It was sad.
It was a rough really ending.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking really fast.
Okay. You're fine.
It kind of remembered me. I hate myself. Reminded me of Seven. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the classic line, "What's in the box?" will probably like get your memory started.
Yeah. What's in the box?
So it was like a fast version of my review. It wasn't bad. I don't know why it has 3 stars. It was really good.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, yeah. Have a good night, day, whatever time you record this at. I really don't know.
Okay.
And bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for calling in, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for not bending to your dad's weird Terra Dome will or whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we'll have to work with her on the Lost Boys, though.
I'm telling you, it's an East Coast thing. I don't know what it is. Everybody on the East Coast hates the Lost Boys.
Huh.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I thought they were sexy, to be honest with you. And not in a totally gay way.
Just partially?
Just, you know, like a 35% gay way, I guess. I believe this one to be Alan.
Added room, what's up?
What's up, Alan?
Terradome picks. Me and Shelly are both going with Pinhead and the Lost Boys. I see y'all are doing The Bay this week. That is a kick-ass movie. I hope everybody has a good, happy 4th. Stay safe.
You too, Alan.
Yeah, you too.
I got no idea who Monica is and educating Miss Monica.
Poltergeist.
That's all I got. Y'all have a good one. Bye.
You too, Alan. Thanks for calling in. Shelly got her travel mug also. Very cool. She seemed happy on Facebook with it, so that's good. I'm glad she got it. Okay, we had Alan, we had Sarah. This must be Gracie's Poppy. Or maybe it's Sarah again, I don't know.
Shame on you, sir.
Me?
Shame on you.
What did I do now?
Miss Monica clearly wants to vote for Belial. But you're browbeating her, threatening to fire her, and make sure she votes for who you want. Abuse of power, man. Shame on you. Anyway, so here's how Terradome's going to go. Let's see.
Okay. What do you got?
Belial versus Defense. Since apparently we can pick and choose which version of combatants we're going to choose, I'm going to pick the pathetic fat Revelations.
Oh, the fat
guy. You're going to go up to the basket and say, come on, and look at him go for some donuts, and that's when Belial's going to jump out and strangle the fuck out of this thing.
So you're taking Pinhead?
However, even if it is the more superior, badass, Left Bradley Pinhead, this is how it will go down. Ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, I have such sights to what the fuck? Well, get off me! Get the fuck off me! I'll fuck this shit out of here!
Even
Belial wins by default.
Even your daughter knows you're full of shit, VP. Got it?
Now, teens.
Here we go again.
Those pet! Punk-ass douchebag faggot motherfucker!
Oh, GP!
Wow. Oh, I should angry with them today. I don't know why.
I can see that.
Those guys. I'm going to chill in the corner.
Alrighty.
You know why?
Why?
Who backs up those kids? He who walks behind the ropes. Who backs up the loser boys?
Max.
Edward Herman. Get the fuck out of here.
Max owns a VHS rental store.
That's right.
Forget that.
Alright.
He's a businessman.
Immersion therapy, of course. I've seen it before. I saw it again with Sarah.
What'd you think?
A little bit more scary this time.
Really?
Because I realize this is what it's like when you raise precious little snowflakes. Which my children, because of their public education, are slowly in danger of becoming. So I have three little battles with them, and when I win, they don't want to hear it, and they just call me stupid anyway, so it gets tough being a parent.
Or like when you're trying to vote for Belial,
you're ready for a little your kids are in full of shit. just, make sure
yes, sir.
No matter what you do, you can't stop the outside influences.
That's true.
I mean, you could put them in a bubble.
I'm not going to do
that. And for the rest of his life, or let him outside and be social, but, I mean, it's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
I agree.
All right, this is, let's see, a couple days, I'm going to have my operation.
Yes,
I have no idea what kind of condition I will be that whole week. What? So, if I can call in, I'll give my next emergency, teardown book to Sarah, she'll call in.
Okay, fair enough. Good luck with the surgery, GP.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Did he get GP'd? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with the surgery, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's all take a minute and send GP some positive vibrations or happy thoughts or prayers, whatever.
Speedy recovery.
What he said he's having the fistula removed or something. Like it involves a catheter. Yeah. I remember that much.
Yeah, I remember that.
Fuck Ooh. You.
Yeah.
Not doing that. Before, just before my dad passed away, he had the catheter, but he went full, what do you call that? The colostomy bag.
Oh.
Where you got to carry
the side pouch.
The sack of shit around.
Yeah.
With you. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's like a fanny pack.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
If he wasn't so out of it, I would have given him nonstop shit about that. No pun intended. Oh, no.
Would you like some of mine with it?
That's all we got on the listener mail, kids, I believe. I'm going to check one more time.
Yeah, you better do that.
Just to make sure nobody got bumped or omitted or anything else. Let me just open up the mail and refresh. And this is taking forever, which makes me think somebody came in last minute. Nope. Check the junk mailbox. A bunch of pyramid schemes. Nope, looks like that's it on the listener mail. Buddy, do you have anything for Sarah, GP, Alan, Tony, Steven, Randy, Nikki, or anybody else?
Thanks for calling right in, and GP, good luck on Thursday.
Yes, sir. Please keep us informed, or at least have Sarah, keep us updated on your condition. We worry about you.
And if something happens, you're a ghost, don't haunt us.
Oh no! If you're a ghost, you get your ass to Reno, Nevada, and you're gonna do we're gonna do an EVP set, first ever podcast EVP session. It's gonna be the angriest ghost ever.
The angriest ghost
probably won't even have to turn up the volume. He'll come through loud and clear. All right, God damn it! Let's get into a movie here, shall we?
Hell yeah.
911, what are you reporting? Sorry, did you say something bad?
Yes, something really bad happened. She's bleeding.
Where is she bleeding from?
Good morning, Maryland. I am in Claridge, the host of our annual July 4th party.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
We're in the middle of some kind of viral outbreak. It's eating their organs. Intestines, liver, it goes for kidneys.
There's something wrong with the water.
This stuff has chemical steroid in it.
Hey, we got a situation over at the 911 call center, and the system's about to go down. We're just overloaded with calls.
Stephanie, you're not answering your phone. I do not want you to get off that boat.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. I know they shut down all the roads going into Claridge. Now I'm flying over the water here, and, there's just dead fish everywhere.
That's so big, I don't think he fits in this boat.
Have you ever seen anything like that? I've
never seen nothing like that.
What is that? Son of a bitch! Hit me!
You don't just shut down the Eastern Seaboard without approval from a higher authority.
As you can see here, we have these parasites.
Oh my God.
Isopods eating right through the fish's tongue.
There's something really wrong. Help me.
It's eating them from the inside.
Dispatch, there's bodies everywhere.
Do you hear that?
What are you doing?
Go second.
easily be looking at a new form evolve.
Go away!
I'm gonna show the world what happened here.
If you find this tape, just please get it out.
We're gonna be okay.
Yeah, we're talking about The Bay from 2012, directed by Barry Levinson, written by Michael Wallach. This one stars Will Rogers, Kristen Connolly, and Kether Donahue. This one's looking at 5.6 stars. I think that might be a little low, but for a horror fan, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
That was a good show, too.
Yeah.
We're in found footage here, inmates. So just so you, we're going to be doing a lot of jumping around because this film is basically a compilation of like all kinds of media outlets. You got some FaceTime in there, some Skype in there, security cam footage in there, news footage in there, some like weird webcams from the CDC office. It's just all, and then like these weird oceanographers are like getting video evidence of different things. It all gets compiled into this film.
Yeah.
So basically, we're going to start off with some news footage. We're in the Chesapeake Bay area, Maryland. Basically, what we have here is a mass fish die-off, like a huge one, big time. Like thousands of fish just die and start floating up to the surface. Also, a mass bird die-off. They basically just start falling out of the sky, all centered around the Chesapeake Bay area.
Yeah.
That looks like a nice place, though.
It does.
I'd like to go there, eat some crab cakes.
Yeah,
I'm a big seafood guy.
Yeah, that all you can eat contest.
I will eat the shit out of some crab.
Yeah,
not that crab though.
No,
that crab is bad business. Anyway, so that's where we're starting at. From there, we meet a young lady by the name of Donna, and she was a reporter, and basically, we're getting the feel from her that she has compiled all this evidence, and she's trying to get it out there so that people know what happened in, on, and around the area of Claridge, Maryland, which is a small town that basically got punched in the face with a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to that here in a second. So she's kind of pissed off, and she's explaining that there's some kind of a ominous threat looming over Claridge on 4th of July weekend, which was rather fortuitous for us, I thought. I forgot that this movie took place on the 4th of July.
I know.
I was like, this is perfect. Yeah. Nice. So that sucks. We start off with, we immediately get some flashback footage. There's a couple of oceanographers that are documenting something happening in the waters of the Chesapeake Bay area. They start off with like some weird fish die-offs. Nothing to scale just yet, but they're trying to figure out what's going on there because they're finding a lot of red algae, which is uncharacteristic for brack. I'm talking completely out of my ass here, but I'm going to try and make this sense for you. Chesapeake Bay apparently is brackish water, which means it's a certain percentage fresh water and a certain percentage salt water. If I understand this correctly, red algae isn't supposed to grow in that type of an environment, but it is here for some reason.
Right.
Okay, that's weird, and there's some weird shit going on there. To start with, that's what got the attention of the oceanographers. The oceanographers are one French lady and one white guy. And
a cameraman.
Was there a cameraman?
Well, yeah, he was the one that was recording like all the stuff while they were, because he was like shooting him and then her and then him.
Oh, okay.
Unless that was just supposed to be something we were seeing.
I don't know. I mean, there's another cameraman that comes in, but you're probably right. Anyway, they are going to turn up dead, and we're going to find out why in a minute. Okay, so from there, we cut to 4th of July weekend 2009. We see a much more cleaned up version of Donna, and she is making her first on the, like, in the field reporting gig,
yeah.
I guess, whatever you call that, woman on the scene. And basically,
fairly new.
Yeah, this was like her first big story. Well, it wasn't even supposed to be a big story.
Right.
She was just supposed to cover the 4th of July celebration there in Claridge.
Right.
So she's got her standard fluff pieces. You know, she's covering the all-you-can-eat lobster eating contest.
Doesn't really know how to do an interview.
No, she's you can tell she's not really very good at this.
Yeah.
It's fine, whatever. And we got the typical small town stuff, Miss Crustacean, the local beauty queen. She's going to turn her crown over to the next Miss Crustacean. I would object to being called Miss Crustacean.
Right?
That's not a flattering name. No. I am not a crustacean, you motherfuckers.
That's right.
You're a crustacean.
I'm not just a piece of meat.
That's right. Well, I look like a brine shrimp or some shit. Get out of here. So, it's basically just your typical small town fluff piece, 4th of July celebration. Okay, yeah. Very cool.
Everybody having a good time.
Yes, and we also get to meet a young couple and their baby. They have rented a boat from somewhere, I guess, down the shoreline of the Atlantic seaboard, and they're going to be boating into Claridge to meet the young lady's parents for the 4th of July celebration. So we get some footage from them also, and they're getting the boat ready, and they're getting ready to have a good time. Right about this time is when we start to figure out what the fuck is going on here. We meet the mayor of this town. This guy's a real piece of shit there, buddy.
Yeah.
He probably had the town's best interests at heart, but he failed to... He fucked that up.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He started by setting up a desalinization plant. If you don't know what desalinization is, inmates, it's basically the process of taking salt water and turning it into fresh water, thus supplying... Claridge with a pretty usable supply of fresh water directly from the bay. Okay, that part I get. That makes sense. The bad news, though, is that he used a good portion of that fresh water to set up some kind of a chicken hatchery.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was a hatchery or a butcher shop.
I don't know. They had a shit ton of chickens.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with the chickens.
Yeah.
But they got like... From the looks of it, it didn't look like a very humane setup for the chickens. They had like 20,000 living in...
a barn.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And they're using the water from the desalinization plant to supply the chicken hatchery. And then they're taking all the chicken shit and basically just throwing it in the bay.
Yuck.
Okay. Now, I'm not an environmentalist, and I don't know anything about any of this stuff, but that can't be good, right?
No, because look at the cleaning process of a chicken when you're cooking it at home. I mean, you got to sanitize the shit out of countertop.
Yeah.
Imagine that going in the bay.
Well, yeah, and then you're doing your fishing, and you're getting crab out of the bay, and they're just eating chicken poop.
Disgusting.
So that can't be good. And
that's shitty.
There's one guy that is... I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing, you son of a bitch. There's one guy that's like some kind of an eco-terrorist, and he actually breaks in with an infrared cam into the chicken area, and he like videotapes. They got like mountains of chicken shit, and they're basically just dozing it into the bay.
Yeah.
That's pretty gnarly. That can't be good for the aquatic life of the bay to start with.
I wonder if that's how they get chicken of the sea.
Isn't that tuna?
Yeah, but there's chicken of the sea also.
All right, just get out. Just get out of here. I'll do this myself, buddy. So that's bad business to start with. And they're all talking about how great the water is and stuff like that. Okay, well, so far, I mean, other than the dumping of the chicken shit into the sea, into the bay there, I think we're okay. Like, I mean, I would assume that chicken shit, if it was just chicken shit and not knowing what we know that happened earlier, if it was just chicken shit, I don't think it would fuck things up that bad in the water. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if they would shut that down or not.
I mean, either way, it can't be good. That's a lot of fucking poop.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's pretty gnarly. And this is, as far as our 4th of July celebration, this is when shit officially starts to go south.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, wow. We start off in like a, I guess it was some kind of a street fair or something like that. And basically, via some, I guess, cell phone footage, one fat lady just breaks out into these giant hives and basically just starts staggering around the streets yelling for help.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to help her because I wouldn't want to touch her either.
Looking for her husband.
Yeah, she's like, "Where's my husband?" She looks like a zombie.
Yeah, she did.
You know, she's not like being coherent with this at all. She's just like monkey pawing through the crowd, and everybody's giving her a wide berth because this is scary, and she's got these giant fucking blisters all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sucks. We don't know what's up with her, but that's no good. Then we cut to the crab eating contest, where everybody simultaneously starts puking. Little Stand By Me action there, if you know what I'm talking about.
The camera goes, "Oh, did you see that? Whoa! Oh, did you see that?"
Just over and over. Everybody. Yeah. Well, just the crab-eating contestants, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's bad too. Now, about this time, we cut to the hospital. We're going to get some security camera footage from there, along with a doctor trying to document what's going on here, because he started off with like three or four cases, mm-hmm. but three or four quickly turned into eight or nine, and it's just kind of snowballing. Rapidly. Yeah, snowballing from there. Basically, what we have is people from the town wandering in with these crazy fucking, like, I guess you call them blisters, right? Or some, like, pustules.
Yeah, I was...
They're gnarly. I don't want them.
They look like giant blisters. Yeah. I don't know what they're full of.
Nothing good. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now. They're these giant, like...
Boils,
pustules, just all over the place. Legs, arms, face, everywhere. And then we cut to... this part was pretty gnarly. We cut to, like, people, like, jumping into the bay, splashing around in pools.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that can't be good.
Yeah.
Something in the water, maybe. Either way, you don't want it. Okay, now we cut back to our oceanographers. They're already dead, but we're kind of looping their evidence footage into what we're seeing now to mm-hmm. give us a more effective timeline. They pull a couple fish out of the bay, and they cut them open to see what's going on. And basically what they find is that the fish in the bay are just riddled with these parasitic worms.
Mm-hmm.
These worms are called isopods. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is a real thing, dude.
Yeah.
I think what these things do is they invade the, like in a larvae type of a stage, they invade the nervous system of the fish, start basically eating the fish alive from the inside out. And that's pretty gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds painful and disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's basically what they find. They cut open a fish and they stick like one of the little fucking pen cams down there.
Mm-hmm.
And these fish are just riddled with these things.
Yeah, they are.
Now, the isopods we're finding at this point in the film are like the size of maybe a fingernail, give or take.
Yeah, like they look like maggots.
Pretty much. Either way, you don't want them inside you.
No.
Not if they're going to eat their way out, dude.
Yeah, no thanks.
Fuck you. God. All right. Now the town of Claridge is starting to get into a little bit of a panic because everybody is breaking out in this shit. Nobody knows what it is. The one poor doctor at the hospital is overwhelmed. So at this point we go into panic cam footage.
Yeah.
We see a 15-year-old girl and she's on FaceTime with somebody somewhere and she's got the shit all over her face.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did we see? We see another guy that ate something. And he ate, the shit is already inside him, but he's like lifting up his shirt and you can see he's got a xenomorph thing going on in his stomach.
Yeah.
Maybe he's growing a Belial or something. I don't know what it is. Nasty. So now at this point, the town is basically in a full on panic. Now we cut back to our doctor. First off, he doesn't know what the hell this shit is. Second off, he realizes that this is growing at a sporadic rate, and basically he's in way over his head.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get a hold of somebody at the CDC, Center for Disease Control. From there, we get some FaceTime between him and, I guess, some scientists or doctors at the CDC.
Yeah, something like that.
And they're basically giving him the runaround, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
Did you check for this?
He's like, yes, I'm a fucking doctor. I checked for all that shit. And they're like, well, we had a case of, pneumatic flu or something in Vancouver last year. It might have been that. And he's like, well, how many people did it kill? 30. Well, I've got 90 people in my waiting room right now with this fucking lesion shit all over mm-hmm. him. I felt bad for the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the only guy that was somewhat half-assed trying to help. Everybody else just freaking out. To give you a better idea of how this town is imploding, we cut to two police officers. I think these were the only two cops in the whole town.
There's two more later.
There was like a chief and then these two guys, I think. Was there two more later?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'm forgetting something.
We'll get there.
Anyway, dash cam footage. Basically they happen upon a dead guy laying out in the grass and they're like, hey, he's a dead guy. And they go to investigate him, and they find he's got the shit on him, but somebody shot him also.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're getting a full, like, this is the apocalypse here in Claridge, basically.
Mm-hmm.
This shit has gotten out. It's all over the goddamn place. People don't know how to deal with it, so they're panicking and fucking shooting at each other and fucking trying to fight each other off.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's basically this town has gone to shit. Now we cut to our reporter. She's like, at this point, she's not fully aware of the state of the big picture. She thinks that her little 4th of July celebration just turned into a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. So she's hanging around this murder scene thinking, oh, I'm going to get a big story here and I'm going to ask some questions. But again, she doesn't really know what the fuck she's doing.
Right.
So she's like, so, you got a lot of murders here in Claridge? And the guy just kind of like looks at her and then walks away. She's like, oh, I fucked that up, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yes, you did, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. So that's pretty gnarly. But she, like I said, she doesn't know that the hospital is full of people with this fucking skin crap on them.
Right.
Now we cut back to the mayor. The mayor is on a, this guy's a real piece of work. He goes to the local radio station and he wants to put out like a public service announcement. Well, like a
town meeting.
Yeah. Type of thing. Just like some kind of an announcement that to put people at ease. And he basically blames the whole thing on allergies. Yeah. Really? Allergies? You think some Benadryl is going to clean this shit up? He's like, well, you know, we all eat a lot of shellfish, and it's been unseasonably hot, and our immune systems are adjusting to the heat, and horse shit, man. Allergies, huh? Fuck yeah. You. All right, so that's bad business right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now we cut back to our young couple on the boat on the way up to Claridge. I don't know, man. I've been to the East Coast, but I've never been to like any coastal cities. Was it just me or was the water all brown?
Yeah, it looked brown.
Now, I don't know if it just looks that way because like the sediments or something like mm-hmm. that, or if that was supposed to be some connotation of the chicken shit that's in there.
Yeah.
But like every time they cut to somebody getting in the water, it looked brown.
Yeah, it didn't look.
No, I don't think I want to go swimming in brown water.
No.
So it's like swimming in somebody's dirty dishes or some shit. Yeah, right. That. So this young couple and their newborn baby, by the way, are on the boat and they're sailing up from wherever to Claridge. We get a cute little, you know, quasi-romantic scene of the husband picking up the wife and threatening to throw her overboard. But she's like, no, put me down. I have the camera. And he's like, oh, okay. And then he jumps overboard.
No, she threw him overboard.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I thought he just
jumped.
That's
why he's like, here you're coming in next.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Well, that's gonna suck
later.
They
were like doing a little ruffle tussle kind of thing. Yeah. And then he went in the water.
Uh-oh. Bad business there, buddy. So yeah, he just took the big dip there.
Yeah.
All right, that's creepy.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
No. Now we cut to two kids out on a pier somewhere, and this is some kind of mm-hmm. cell phone footage again. 15 years old. You know, hey, what you do? It's a boy and a girl, and the guy's like, hey, take your top off. And the girl's like, no, my mom doesn't want me seeing you. Why would I do that? And then she jumps in the water, and.
This part was gnarly.
Yeah. At first, she's just swimming around, having a good time, again, in the fucking brown water. And the guy's like, hey, be careful of stingrays and jellyfish. And she's like, ah, you're full of shit. Ooh, ow, ooh, ow. And then he's like, oh, you're fucking with me. And then she, like, starts thrashing around violently. So he's like, I'm going to help you. And then he jumps in. Mm-hmm. But apparently, he jumped in with his cell phone because it was still recording.
Yeah.
And then you see, like, the video gets all distorted and shit. And then... it's like water damaged. And then there's Donna comes in with a voiceover and she's like, the cell phone was found like a year later down the beach by a 9-year-old or something like that. So that's bad business. Shit is officially fucked up at this mm-hmm. point. From there, I think we cut back to our oceanographers. Now they're there and they've got like, they're getting ready to go on a scuba dive there in the Chesapeake Bay. Because they think they found the source of the problem, and they're going to break it all down for us.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is these fucking isopods.
Right.
They're not supposed to be in the Chesapeake Bay. They're not supposed to be anywhere near the Chesapeake Bay.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow an environment for them to thrive in has been created there in the Chesapeake Bay. And now they're there, and there is a shit ton of them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like they're duplicating and replicating or reproducing or whatever the fuck they do at
right.
a ridiculous rate.
Mm-hmm.
So the oceanographers think they found out where, like the epicenter of where this activity is taking place, and they're going to go scuba diving down there, figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They got the underwater cams and the scuba gear and all that shit. They take like a boat out there, and then they get in the water. And I'm not 100% sure what happened here. I know that they were attacked by the isopod. You can't really make it out, really, could you?
No.
All you see is like them scuba diving, and of course we're in brown, murky, fucking bullshit water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see one of the oceanographers like look at the other one, and then hit like his fucking face mask just cracks,
yeah,
and blood comes flying out, and he's like, "Arr!" And then the other one starts thrashing around,
mm-hmm,
and then we cut to the news footage of their bodies being pulled out of the bay. And they've got, like, chunks of them missing.
Missing, yeah.
And at first, like, the official story at first was a shark attack. But then they're like, those aren't bites, really.
Right.
So it wasn't a shark. And then, like, you actually get to see some pretty graphic footage of their dead bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the various missing pieces and shit.
Yeah. Gnarly.
Yeah. So that's bad business for them, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we cut back to our on the scene reporter here, Donna. Now we're basically in full-on post-apocalyptic mode.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's at the hospital. The streets are deserted. There's bodies all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them gunshot wounds. Some of them just with that shit all over the... We get to see Miss Crustacean.
Yeah.
Now she does look like a crustacean.
Yeah.
I think she's covered in that crap.
It's an appropriate title,
I guess. I guess so. You are now Miss Crustacean.
That's right.
Nasty. And her and her cameraman are just walking around going, what the fuck is this? What even happened here? I don't know. They get to what I think was like a bar or a restaurant. And like, as they're like, the cameraman is following her, and periodically she's stopping just to like say where she is and what's going on. But the background is just nothing but screaming, and like, you can't, I guess you could compare it almost to like a like the aftermath of a battlefield where there's just like wounded people laying around screaming in pain and stuff. You don't really get to see any of that because it's all happening in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But she can't even like say anything to the cameraman because it's just nothing but screaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, they get to a restaurant or something and they think they hear somebody inside. So they start kind of creeping in, and then they... So they get to the restaurant, and then they think they hear somebody in the back, but as they're getting closer, they see, like, this blood splotch out on the entranceway.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes and investigates and looks up, and there's a dead guy on the roof bleeding on her.
Yeah.
Very 28 days later there for a second.
Yeah, that was pretty gross.
Gnarly. But
I thought she was going to get infected.
That's what I thought, too, but they played it up so much, like, whatever the crap was, it was in the water.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you would think she would have got infected because mm-hmm. it's still a fucking bloodborne pathogen, right? Or at least I don't know. I don't even know. I don't know what it is. Anyway, now we cut back to our two cops. These guys are trying to maintain some law and order. They get a call to a house where gunshots have been fired.
Yeah.
They get there. The big black guy goes in. And from here, we just cut to nothing but audio.
Right.
He goes in first. The skinnier white guy is out in the car. Hear a lot of screaming and then a bunch of gunshots.
Yeah.
So the white guy follows up. He goes in there also. And from there, we cut to nothing but audio, period. Basically, what I gathered, and I could be way off with this, is that everybody in the house was infected with the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of a fucking mayhem massacre took place.
Yeah.
The black cop went in.
Well, and they were saying, kill me.
Yeah. And, like, basically, he was just popping them as mercy killings.
Yeah.
But then the white guy went in, and I don't know what happened from there.
Yeah.
Other than, I assume the black guy shot the white guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe they drew weapons on each other, and he just shot first. I think
the white guy was like, why are you... You know, don't shoot him. I think because there was probably like a family. So he's kind of working his way. And when the white guy showed up, it was like, there's still somebody that's still alive, but he's getting ready to shoot him.
Right.
And it sounded like that he went to reach for them to offer help. And because he kept saying, stay away from him, stay away from him.
Okay.
And then because he didn't stay away, just like, well, now you're going to be infected. So I'm shooting you.
Well, the motherfucker about this is that it eats your tongue.
Yeah.
So you can't communicate once you... Well, I mean, you can, but in the later stages, your tongue gets eaten.
Right.
And you can't communicate anymore.
Right.
So you fucking... For all you know... everybody else knows, you're a goddamn zombie, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll shoot you too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking to you.
Oh,
you
me?
Can, yeah, if you get there, I will shoot you in the face, man. I'm telling you right now. So that's pretty gnarly. Now we cut to our mayor.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to do some damage control. He's basically trying to save his own ass. He has the sergeant or the chief of police come pick him up
because
he wants to get a firsthand look at all this carnage. So they're driving around in the squad car. They're trying to raise the deputies that were just in the house, and they're not getting any kind of reply.
Right.
So basically, they're just driving around looking at all this shit, trying to find their deputies. They happen upon the house.
Yes.
Just as the black deputy is walking out.
Kind of staggeredly.
Yeah, and he's got the shit on him, too.
Yeah.
So that fucking sucks. The chief gets out, and he's like, hey, Jimmy, hey, just take it easy there. And Jimmy's got his gun already drawn. He's like, hey, why don't you just get in the car, and we'll see what's going on. And Jimmy just shoots the police chief.
Yeah, he was yelling at him, get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. And then he shoots him.
Yeah.
And then the mayor is just in the passenger seat of the police cruiser going, what the fuck? And then Jimmy puts the gun to his head and shoots himself.
Dude, that was gnarly.
That was bad.
Yeah,
that was bad like business. Boom! Head explosion.
That was cool.
Okay, that's pretty bad. Now mm-hmm. we cut to our young couple that have finally arrived there in Claridge. They dock. They get out. They already know something weird is going on because the place is deserted.
Yeah,
there should be fireworks and people cheering. None of that shit.
And they still can't get a hold of.
They can't get a hold of nobody. Yeah. They're walking around. They can't. There's no. Apparently, somebody, the FBI or somebody, shut down the cell towers.
Yeah.
So that's fucked. They can't find any. There's nobody alive. There's dead people all over the fucking streets.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nasty. Now we cut to our doctor. The pandemonium at the hospital has officially ceased because everybody's dead at this point, pretty much.
Yeah.
He managed to lock himself inside a, I don't know, some kind of a storage locker or something.
Yeah.
And he just got out, and now he's videotaping all the dead bodies, and he's explaining about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
From there, we cut to CDC headquarters, where they're trying to figure out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Basically, they get another marine biologist on the fucking webcam or whatever, and what we find out is that apparently 2 years previous to this, there was some kind of a radiation leak from somewhere down the coast, and the radiation wasn't expected to hit the Chesapeake Bay till 2014. We're in 2009 right now.
Yeah,
so it got there a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the crux of this and the whole cause of this was, number one, radiation.
Yep.
Number two, radiated water being fed to the chickens.
Right.
Chicken poop being shoveled into the bay and a little bit in this room. And then the fucking isopods feeding off the radioactive chicken poop, infecting the fish. And basically that's from there, it just ballooned and the whole shit went south from
mm-hmm.
there. So that's the movie. That's pretty much your movie right there, because from there we just cut to sometime later where Donna is explaining that some kind of a government payoff took place and everybody that lived around in on or around Claridge received a lot of money to keep quiet, and nobody wanted to talk to her about this, including the young lady that got away. Her husband got the shit. And yeah, basically we got to see on Skype one of these giant isopods just shoot right out of his neck,
yeah,
which was pretty gnarly, mm-hmm. I thought. And that's pretty much your movie right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah, I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, me too. I really liked it.
Heavy on the eco horror, you know, mm-hmm. with the weird iso and the bio horror too.
Yeah.
Because once you get to see these things and they're crawling out of dead bodies and shit, am I the only one that got like an itchy, scratchy, you know, watching this?
No, I was actually like scratching my legs while I'm watching this.
Yeah.
I even turned to my wife. I said, I'm starting to itch because of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's weird how movies affect you.
Right?
There's another movie called Antiviral.
Hmm.
You ever seen that one?
I don't think so.
Every time I watch that, I feel like I'm getting a fever. I start like coughing and getting the cold chills and stuff. I'm like, I'm going to take some medicine. All right, inmates, that was The Bay. Not a bad show. Got 5.6 stars on IMDb. I'd probably go a little higher than
that. Yeah, me too.
I'd probably go like maybe low sixes.
Yeah.
Mid to low sixes. Pretty good show. Definitely worth a watch. Heavy on the eco terror. Yeah. Got anything on The Bay, buddy?
Yeah, I'd say it's one of my top fives of the found footage films that I've seen. I really like this one.
Yeah, I can see that. The problem with found footage is that it's just been inundated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a cheap way to make films.
It is.
And because it's so cheap, anybody can do it.
Right.
And because anybody can do it, everybody is doing it, and thus we are just inundated with crap found footage movies.
Right.
This one actually had a budget, obviously, and some real talent behind it, so it's definitely worth watching. I don't know if I'd put it top five. I'd probably go like maybe top 10.
Okay.
If I had to put, I don't know. Now that I think about it, I don't know what my top five found footage movies would be, but it's definitely a good show.
Oh, yeah.
I like it a lot. Check out The Bay Inmates if you get a chance. We're going to take us a little break, come back, do some other stuff.
Hey, inmates. If you like what you hear, head over to the Padded Room Facebook group and support us through the patron link with a small monthly donation. Check out the T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com and grab some t-shirts. Thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of the show.
And we are back.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, buddy.
I know, right?
I don't think I... What do I tell you people all the time? Stay out of the fucking ocean.
Right?
You have no idea what's in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If I have a choice between getting eaten by a shark or getting the fucking isopods in my pee hole,
God.
I'll take the shark, dude. It'll be scary.
Dude, that's tough, man.
It'll be scary. It's going to hurt like a son of a bitch, but I'm going to bleed out fast.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't want those things fucking eating me from the inside out. Yeah. Fuck you. I'll take the shark.
Yeah, then there's one scene where the guy goes in there with the gloves to go touch to see if the guy was dead or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Poke it with a stick.
Poke
I yelled
it with a stick, you son of a bitch. Get out of here. All right, goddammit. We got a fight to get into, buddy.
Hell yeah, we do.
It's Terradome time.
Mm-hmm.
No tears, please. It's a waste of good suffering.
Gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains in. I'm gonna bash them right the fuck in. I'll kill you all. I'll drive you crazy. I'll kill you all. I'll your worst dream come true.
6-year-old child with this blank, pale emotions. Face with blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Welcome to the Terradome.
Excited for this.
Me too. I'm a bit relieved at this one. I don't mind telling you.
Right.
Let's take a look at last week's winners.
Yeah.
We're going to start it off in the singles division, Asylum Conference Round 4. The Hell Priest looked on quizzically at the odd creature. It scurried from shadow to shadow, attempting to avoid the hooks and chains, and was successful for a short time. Then the killing blow. One hook to the left eye socket, followed by dozens more, catching the tumorous flesh. Dwayne looked on it in anticipation as Belial howled in pain. Then the chains flew apart, spraying blood all over the attic floor. With a vote of 19-10, Pinhead advances over Belial.
Yes!
Woo!
Thank goodness.
I was not looking forward to getting a Belial tattoo.
Right?
I would think I would just get it get a couple of eyeballs on my penis. And then it would just look just like Belial.
Yeah,
much,
the whole testicle part. Yeah,
oh,
just like it.
Yeah, totally. Nobody would know the difference. Hey, you want to see my Belial tattoo? I'm going to whip it out for you.
I got your Belial down here.
Motherfucker. Oh, my wife would divorce me. Let's take a look at the teams competition.
Yeah.
Team's competition, we had the Lost Boys versus Children of the Corn. Isaac's congregation grew by the day. More and more believers were hearing the word of He Who Walks Behind the Rose. But faith would only carry them so far. The true power was in the corn, not the beach. When death came for them, it took the shape of 5 teenagers on motorcycles. 5 dead boys on a moonlit beach, and Isaac's congregation was reduced to a red surf. With a vote of 21-8, the Lost Boys advance over the Children of the Corn.
Nice. Saw that coming.
Yeah. They never do anything, Children of the Corn.
No.
Ever. I don't think they've ever won a match in the Terradome. Who would they even beat, now that I think about it? Maybe Home Invaders? I mean, just because there's more of them?
There's more of them, yeah.
That's probably about it, really.
Yeah, I don't think they could beat the Critters.
No. Zombies? No.
Killer Clowns?
No. Maybe the Simpsons. If we ever put the Simpsons in the Terror Dome, they might have a win. All right, let's take a look at this week's matchup, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
We are in the Asylum Conference Round 5, Singles Division. As usual, inmates, bear with me. I don't know how to write stuff, so there you have it. The door swung shut with a loud thud. Dr. Herbert West was startled by the sound. He'd grown accustomed to the sounds of his misbegotten laboratory and all of his failed experiments, but that didn't mean that his concentration couldn't still be broken. The completion of the reagent was paramount. He'd made great strides into reanimation of dead tissue, but hadn't perfected the formula yet. He knew the consequences. To reanimate the dead would be to change the meaning of life itself. World leaders and renowned scientists the world over would scramble to replicate his process. Religions would be completely abandoned altogether. Damien Thorne knew that was why West had to be stopped, or at least slowed down. The young Antichrist would find himself powerless if the world abandoned Christianity and religion altogether. The priests in the pulpits, the saints and the sinners alike would find no traction in the world without death, or a world without religion. Singles competition, we have Herbert West versus Damien Thorne. What do you think, buddy?
Well, I'm going to have to go with Damien on this one. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, he doesn't really do anything. He's creepy, but he just stands there and then shit just magically happens.
Exactly.
I'm going to take Herbert West. I have really no logic to back that up.
Okay.
Other than I like Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all I got for you on that one.
All right.
Let's take a look at the teams competition.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in the Asylum Conference, round 5. The world was over, had been for some time. When the dead began to walk, society crumbled. Humanity collapsed and mankind was reduced to nothing more than feral packs of nomads, scavenging the ruined cities and avoiding the zombie hordes at all costs. One such tribe takes to the frozen forests of Norway. Knowing that the undead don't move as fast in the cold, they find safety in the woodlands. Even a small measure of comfort in a forgotten old cabin. While searching the cabin, they stumble upon a chest of gold coins. In generations gone by, they might have meant something, but these survivors have no use for currency, and toss them out into the snow. From the frozen cliffs to the north, Colonel Herzog and his soldiers begin to stir in their shallow graves. From the desolate valleys to the south, the wandering dead catch view of the cabin's chimney, producing fresh smoke. Both sides advance on the cabin, one in search of misplaced Nazi gold, the other in search of flesh and blood for nourishment. Teams competition, we have Nazi zombies versus regular zombies. I don't normally support like anti-Semitics, but in this case, I got to take the Nazi zombies. They can use firearms.
Yeah.
In dead snow, too, they were driving tanks and shit, for Christ's sakes. And if they do go down, Herzog just pounds the ground and they all get right back up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the Nazis. How say you, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nazi zombies as well. They're smarter, faster.
That's all there is to it. They can fucking shoot guns, dude. Okay? Think about that. That's 2 for the Nazi zombies, 0 for the zombies. Those are your Terror Dome matchups for the week, inmates. Mm-hmm. As usual, get us your votes by next week if you can. The usual mental health hotline is area code 775-387-0275, or you get us on the old email at thepaddedroom2011@hotmail.com. And while you're thinking about who's going to win those fights, I'm going to tell you what I've been looking at this week.
What are you looking at?
How about Lake Nowhere from 2014? I think I told you about this one, didn't I?
Yeah.
Badass, dude. It's on Shudder right now. You got to check that out. Practical effects. A little bit of Evil Dead. A little bit of Friday the 13th. Pretty good stuff, man. And it starts off like you're flipping channels.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like a couple of commercials for other ridiculous 80s horror movies.
Nice.
Not real ones. And then like a weird 80s beer commercial. And then you get into Lake Nowhere. You're going to love that shit. Check it out if you get a chance. Evil Dead from 2013. Just had a hankering for some extra gore with my breakfast the other day.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so I put that on. You're So Cool Brewster, the documentary about Fright Night.
Oh, I was thinking Punky Brewster.
No. Dude, it's a different Brewster.
Okay.
This fucking thing is like 2.5 hours long.
Oh, my gosh.
I am now a worldly scholar in all things Fright Night. I know every single goddamn thing about it.
Wow.
I wasn't that into Fright Night to begin with, but now I mean, it's there's nothing wrong with it. It's a good show.
Good watch.
Yeah. I don't know that I needed to know this much about it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe if I was some kind of a fucking Fright Night super freak. And then Lake Bottom. I'm probably not pronouncing this right. It's a Finnish horror movie. It's from 2016.
Oh, okay.
Not bad. Camping trip goes awry for some teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to recreate a murder site.
Recreate.
Well, I mean, without actually murdering, but then it turns out there's a murderer in play.
Oh, okay.
A little twist ending there. You might check that one out. It's a Shudder exclusive also.
Hmm.
Buddy, which TV show did you watch this week?
No TV shows. I actually only watched Spawn this morning, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's 97, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. 96, 97.
Michael J. White in there. Yeah. John Leguizamo.
Yes.
You know, I was never a big fan of Spawn. The comic book character.
Yeah, it's weird.
It gets into some... There was actually a really kick-ass HBO show, Spawn.
Hmm.
It's a cartoon. Animated. Oh, okay. And it was like rated R. Like,
oh.
Oh, yeah. Rapey and bloody and all kinds of shit.
Damn.
Yeah. Whatever. If you're into Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at inmates. How about a little immersion therapy then?
Mm-hmm.
Immersion therapy.
I spent half of this movie trying to figure out where I knew Lou Taylor Pucci from.
Mm-hmm.
I kept seeing his face and I'm like, well, I've seen that fucking guy somewhere before. I just couldn't figure it out. And because I'm such a stubborn asshole, I refuse to look at IMDb.
Right.
And then I just remember, like, 2 hours before I watched Horseman, I watched Evil Dead. And I'm like, that's that fucking guy right there, son of a bitch. He was also in Spring, which is a pretty good movie.
Huh.
Yeah, not a bad show, The Horseman. I felt it was basically a cheap knockoff of Seven. But that doesn't necessarily make it bad.
Right.
It's still a good show. Good murder mystery drama type of thing.
Yeah.
I didn't much care for the Asian chick, though.
No.
She was just...
Her voice.
Well, that, and she was just way too smug.
Yeah.
You know, she could have scaled that back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, she looks familiar. I wonder if she's that chick from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Oh, yeah, sure is.
Was that her?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she played up the sweet, innocent thing until she pulled the fetus out and was like, hey, I got this fetus.
That was pretty cool.
That was pretty dope. And then after that, she just went into, like, weird dragon lady mode.
Yeah.
All right, just scale it back a little bit there, Chica. Not a bad show. What did you think of it, buddy?
I really liked it.
Not a bad show?
Not a bad show at all.
How do you feel about Dennis Quaid?
Good actor.
I always felt like he was a poor man's Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yeah, I guess I could see that.
Just in a weird, like with the weird smiley facial features and rugged good looks, I guess, in a weird way.
Rugged good looks, huh?
Sure. Pulled that one right out of my ass, didn't I? All right, buddy, what do you got for us this week, my man?
All right, this week, let's check out 2016's Carnage Park. It is written and directed by Mickey Keating, stars Ashley Bell, Pat Healy, James Landry Hibbert, and Michael Viller.
Very cool, inmates. Check that one out. We're going to do the same, and we'll compare notes next week.
Mm-hmm.
We have no Monica to educate, I'm afraid, and we both would like to go watch the fireworks now, so we're going to cut this one a little short.
Yeah.
Join us next week for As Above, So Below here in Found Footage Month in the Padded Room. In the meantime, you can contribute over at the Patreon link if you feel like it. If you feel like we deserve a little something on the side, feel free to do that. We got a pretty kick-ass reward system over there. You can also do some t-shirt shopping through our T-Villain link at paddedroom.podbean.com. Also an Amazon link there if you feel like clicking through before you do your shopping. It's not going to affect the price of anything, but we will get a little kickback from them also.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, let's all wish GP a happy and healthy recovery on his surgery.
Absolutely.
And hope that Monica gets back here after she's done consoling her dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about it for the week, buddy. You got anything else?
No.
All right. For the Padded Room Podcast, Miss Monica in absentia, and Buddy, I'm afraid visiting hours are over.
Have a great week.
Put my hands in the dust with the heat dry.